Good morning, everybody. It's February 11th. It's a beautiful sunny day. We got a few inches of fresh snow on the ground, and we're going to get into the Word of God. So maybe people should mute. Sometimes we get background noises. We don't need background noises while I'm doing the teaching. So, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Let's go to Psalm 33. So Psalm 33 in the Old Testament, we're going to start in verse 1. And I went too far. I'm back in Samuel. Some people do this on their digital device and they get there faster than not me.
If you tell them the whole verse.
So, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp and sing unto him with a psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. My little guitar over here only has 6 strings. I got another one on the wall that has 7, but I don't have one. I guess I have a bass with 10, so I digress, sorry. And sing unto him a new song, and play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. What a great figure of speech. He gathereth the waters of the sea as an heap. He layeth up the depth of in storehouses. And let all the earth fear, and we know that word fear there should be respect. Let all the earth respect the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heaven to naught. Heathen, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was wondering why that sounded wrong. Got to read what's written, Jeff. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing. So all that stuff that unbelievers do, it'll amount to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth for a little while. No, a long time. No, forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Here's the verse I wanted to get to. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In this day and time, the people that are chosen for God's inheritance are those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Let's go to 1 Kings. You know, I bring up a lot of politics, and you know, some people in some circles will say, we're going 1 Kings chapter 15, by the way. We're going to start in verse 25. People say you should never mix politics and religion. And our founding fathers, when they were setting up our country, they had two places they would meet. One was in the church, one was in the bars. And that's where they would get together and they would talk about how we want our freedom. We don't want this We don't want to be run by the King of England. We want to be free. And they plotted and executed a revolution. And then also we know in the Old Testament that originally God set up a government. See, politics is all throughout the Word. God set up a government for the children of Israel, and it was a bunch of judges ran the country. And the judges would answer to the prophet, and the prophet would answer to God, and it was a system that worked. And Israel said, no, we want this big government, we want a king. And the first king they had was a nasty guy. Even the good kings quite often were nasty guys. So here we read in 1 Kings chapter 15, the last part of verse 25, and Asa, the king of Judah, reigned over Israel 2 years. Verse 26, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So that's why God a lot of times will hold leaders to a higher standard, because not only are they sinning, they're leading the people they rule over to sin as well. And let's see, let's skip down to verse 28. And in the third year of King Asa, the king of Judah, did Baasha, I don't know how you pronounce some of these guys' names, slay him and reigned in his stead. See, these kings were so evil that they slay him. But then the next guy, he'd kill him, say, well, he's leading the people astray and making them sin. And the next guy'd come in, and quite often the position, the next guy would get corrupt. And you see that over and over again. So let's skip over to 1 Kings 16, verse 28. And there was a king, Omri. Yeah, you know, people always name in their kids from the Bible. How come nobody ever uses this one? O-M-R-I. Omri.
It's because it's hard to pronounce.
Yeah. Really. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, the son, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, the king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And we all know that Ahab was a nasty guy. Because what did he do? And it came to pass, verse 31. Well, no, let's just read 30 here. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So we had a list of bad kings. We could go through and read all this stuff. We're not going to read all these verses. But you had this one king that was killed by another guy because he was so bad. But then the next guy was bad, and the next guy was bad. Well, it says here Ahab was worse than the whole bunch of them. And why was he worse? And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. We should have a son call him Jeroboam. No, it's not. Maybe we call our next cat Jeroboam. No, I like Max. We call him Max.
I'm not gonna name something either.
Yeah, that's true. Don't name him, man. Oh my God, we had a neighbor, and they named one of their cats Jezebel. I mean, what, you know, everybody knows that's an evil thing, but you know what? People reject God, and they think evil is cool.
Yeah.
And evil is not cool. There's a day coming when evil and all the evil people, there's a day coming when everybody's going to get raised from the dead, and we're all going to be judged. And the people that are, sorry, I'm trying to do something on the computer here. The people, everybody that's ever lived is going to be raised from the dead, and we're all going to be judged. And the people that reject Jesus Christ and reject God, they're going to be burned in the lake of fire. And there's a whole list of these bad kings that are going to do that. And basically what it was is verse 32, when he reared up an altar for Baal in the house.
It's about him marrying Jezebel.
Yeah, he married Jezebel in verse 31. And Jezebel wasn't even an Israelite. That was part of why... she was used to worshiping her false gods, and when he brought her in, and see, that's the thing, is these royals, supposedly, when if you put a judge over the government, the judge was put there on the merits of how well he would judge. But then royals, you got to have royal blood, and they have to marry other people with royal blood.
Which there's no such thing as royal blood.
Of course there isn't. Well, except for Jesus Christ, yeah. He has royal blood. But that's a different story. And these people, and so they brought in a queen from another country, and Ahab married Jezebel, and Jezebel wanted to continue to worship her false gods, so Ahab set up all these groves to worship all these false gods. And finally, what I wanted to get to here is chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days according to my word." And basically he says for it's going to be 3 years and 6 months, there's going to be a drought. And why? Because Ahab had done all this evil, and he was leading God's people astray, and they were doing the evil with him. And we all know the story. And so we're going to skip a few chapters here, and we're going to skip over to chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, he said, you're the one that's troubling Israel. And he had all his CIA and his NSA and his FBI and all the Secret Service and the not-so-secret service. They were all hunting for Elijah to kill him. But you know what? When God hides you, nobody's going to find you. And it was hid. He was hid by God. And verse 18, he answered, "I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your father's house." They had a whole line of crooked kings. And that you follow Balaam. Balaam, it's Satan worship. Remember in Luke chapter 4, the old Splitfoot, the devil, you know, guy with red and horns, you know. No, they didn't mean, he's a spirit. He doesn't have red and horns. But anyway, he's tempting Jesus, and he said, "Hey, look at this, all the kingdoms of the world. You know, basically, I put the people that are running that are the ones that worship me. If you worship me, all that power can be yours. I control who gets elected. I control who the king is." And with a few exceptions, you know, every once in a while you'd see they'd get a good king. But most of the kings they had were nasty guys. He wanted to worship the false gods. And so he caused people to worship Baal. They were Satan worshipers. You know, that's why, you know, this is Super Bowl Sunday. You know, whoever gets to, whatever entertainer gets to do the Super Bowl thing, probably is a Satan worshiper. I don't know. Some of these, politicians that get to be, you know, these people that are behind the strings that have bought and paid these politicians, they don't worship the one true God. If they did, they wouldn't be doing the evil they do. And then we know the story here. It goes on down through about verse 40. And so finally, there had been a drought, so they set up an altar. And Elijah called all the Israel together, and he says, "You know what? The God that answers by fire, He's the true God. And all the prophets of Baal, they were all jumping up and down for hours, and they're cutting themselves, and they're yelling, "Oh, Baal, answer with fire, burn this altar." Oh, it was just, it was hundreds of them. I mean, talk about a goofy sideshow at some bizarre circus or something. And so then when they were done, you know, also while they're doing it, I love Elijah. He's mocking them. He's saying, "Hey, guys, where's your God? Maybe he's out going to the bathroom. Oh, maybe he's sleeping. Oh, maybe he's sleeping. Oh, you know what? Maybe he's on vacation or something. Or you know what? Maybe he's not a real God. He's just a phony baloney God." And so then they soaked the altar with fire, and they soaked it again with fire. Or no, I'm sorry, water. Soaked it with water, soaked it again with water, and soaked it again with water.
This is Elijah's altar.
Yeah, this is, well, it's the same altar.
Oh, yeah.
But they after the guys, they had to build it back up because all the clowns had broke it up. And then he prayed, and, you know, when we pray, things happen. And, see, God hasn't called us to go kill the king. There's evil. We don't have a king nowadays, but we have an evil president. God hasn't called us to kill the president. God hasn't called us to take out the governor. God has called us to pray and to speak and to stand and to believe. And, see, it was a little different in the Old Testament, because you see here, after God answered with fire, they had to go and kill the prophets of Baal. And we don't have to. We don't kill prophets of Baal. We pray. And I'm going to get to a verse here. And let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. We don't have to, you know, I'm a firm believer in having a firearm in my house to protect my house if somebody comes in. You know, sometimes you may have to defend yourself. I'm a firm believer in locking my door so that people can't steal my stuff or hurt the people that live here. But the real enemy here is the devil. Let's start chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Not strong in Baal, not strong in the king, strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." As evil as Joe Biden is not our enemy. The devil is our enemy. "Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now see, this is a military analogy. But we don't literally go to war against the devil spirit kingdom. You know, I can't get out my little slingshot and shoot a marble in the back of the head of Satan and hurt him. What hurts him is when we believe. And when we believe, that believing is a shield that stops him from hurting us. That hurts him. And when we speak the word, it says here, what did it say the sword of the Spirit was? the word of God. We speak the word of God, and it cuts him. It hurts him. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. See, we pray. Talks about in Timothy that we pray for those in authority, that we may have a quiet and peaceful life. And it's not that we pray for our leaders. Oh, thank you, Lord, that Bill Clinton's such a great president. Thank you for it. No, he was a lousy president. But we prayed that he would, that we would have a quiet and peaceable life. See, there's a difference. You know, we had Bush and Obama, you know, and one was a Republican, one was a Democrat. They were both warmongers, and they both served the military-industrial complex. There's a lot of money in war. You know, when I first came to Denver, I got a job that was like $17,000 a year more than what I'd been making before, and they hired movers, and then they gave me a moving allowance of like $5,000 or $7,000, and then they did this, and they had all these great benefits, and all. I was thinking, why is this? You know, it took me years to figure out why that job paid so much. Well, that company was among one part of what they did. They were part of the military-industrial complex. They were making money hand and fist off that stupid Iraq war. They would send engineers over there. You'd get paid double your salary, and the first $80,000 was tax-free. Well, how can they afford to do that? Well, because they're charging through the nose, charging the American government to put an engineer over there. And then, where's the American government get it? Oh, they're taxing the living daylights out of the poor American citizens. And so they're taxing us so we can make interest-only payments on all the money they're borrowing. You know, and I didn't realize what, I just knew I was taking a good paying job. But see, that's how the evil works. There's a lot of money in war. And they always want to have some sort of war going on. And like, you know, like our Bill Travers, he's our wonderful Bill Travers is on the meeting here today. He was a veteran of foreign wars. He fought in Vietnam. That wasn't defending our country. It was making money for the military-industrial complex, you know, and we didn't know that at the time. A lot of us sort of suspected there was something wrong with the Vietnam War, and it probably wasn't a good idea, but there was nothing wrong that the soldiers did wrong. It's just that our government was willing to kill our young men so they could line their pockets with a big profit, and the politicians got rich, the military-industrial complex got rich, killed a lot of poor Vietnamese people, and they're wondering, why the heck are these Americans over here killing us? Why don't they just leave us alone? Lost a lot of good soldiers. But see, that's why everything in life is religious and spiritual and political. It's all tied together. And you can't really get one without the other. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We deal with this in the spiritual side. Diane and I, every night, we will pray. And we pray for our country. And we rebuke Satan. We literally say, Satan, get thee behind us. And there's a lot of evil going on politically in this country right now. And like I was starting to tell people before the meeting that functionally our government operates as if it's a corporate form of fascism. And the corporate form of fascism is corporations buy politicians, so that way if you get the Republican senator and the Democrat senator both vote for the bill that takes away our freedom in some way, or makes a lot of money for a big military industrial complex or big pharma, and we get are worse off for it. And a few years ago, actually it was back in the 90s, it used to be that a corporation could only own, I think it was 3 or 5 TV stations, and they could only own 3 or 5 radio stations. And so that corporations would, there was more, it wasn't, you'd have to, each corporation, I used to be able to talk, there was more independence in the media. So it's interesting, like, remember when we were young, a lot of us were young people in the 70s, and the music was a lot more exciting then. And there was bands, like, there was a band called Rush that I like, and they couldn't get a break. The big corporations wouldn't give them a break. It turns out there was this small radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, that liked their music and played it, and the people started requesting it and liking it. And they got their break because it wasn't all one big corporation controlling it. Heart, that everybody know the band Heart? You know, with the two singers, was it Ann and
Nancy Wilson.
Yeah. Amazing vocals and great music. They couldn't get a break. The big corporations, no, we don't like your music. Well, some local radio station in Canada started playing their music, and then so they went in there, and they, next thing you know, they're playing concerts, and everybody in the concert knows their songs and knows all the lyrics, and they got their break. But when Bill Clinton signed that bill into law that allowed, now we own, there's 2 or 3 corporations that own all the TV stations and all the radio stations. So all our music is all the same sucky pre-programmed crap, and independent artists can't get a break. And that's why all the news stations, they all have the same, you flip the news in local Denver, ABC, CBS, NBC, it's the same as in Chicago, ABC, CBS, NBC, same as MSNBC, same as CNN, they're all spouting the same crap. Because it's all controlled by a few corporations. And that's wrong. It's evil. And in the shutdown, what happened? We had that pandemic. What happened? Well, a lot happened. You know, I could talk all day on just on that, but I just want to handle a couple things. About 15 big corporations made obscene profits, and thousands of small companies went out of business. Thousands and thousands of small companies, medium-sized companies, barely squeaked through and then are now building back. You get stuff like the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is designed to destroy our manufacturing. They wanted us all to drive these stupid electric cars. Diane, you used to work at a place that made batteries. These batteries, these lithium batteries, will just catch on fire. Mm-hmm. And when they catch on fire, they burn at 4,000 degrees. And finally, the fire department realized, well, we really can't put them out. The best thing to do if they get an electric car that's burning, they pull it out 50 feet away from anything, and they let it just sit there and burn itself out. And then even after it's out, it can catch on fire again and start burning at 4,000 degrees. So what they do is they want to immerse them in water after they put the fire out so they won't catch on fire again. And if a lot of the batteries and stuff, it's all made in China. You know, and it's and so it'll destroy. Ford is going to lose lots and lots of money on that Mustang and that Lightning that they're building. Then you got the social media censorship. Look how much stuff you know. We got Twitter. It used to be Twitter. Now it's X. And how many people got kicked off Twitter because they said the stuff that wasn't politically correct? Or how many of us have been in Facebook jail because we said the truth? And then, let's see, how far do I want to go with this? Oh, I remember, and then a lot of charities. You know, if I worked for a company, and the year 10 or 15 years ago, they had that big earthquake in, what's that little island?
Haiti?
Haiti, that was it, thank you, Haiti.
Oh, yeah, Haiti. Yeah.
And so they sent, the people raised millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, and the Clinton charity was part of this, and all these other charities. They built six homes with these hundreds of millions of dollars that went over. Six homes. But they did, a lot of politicians got rich on it. A lot of American politicians, a lot of Haiti politicians. And then they went in there, and also the Clinton Foundation human trafficked away a lot of children so that they were then sex slaves for rich, evil people. And it just goes on and on and on. Our world is just evil. And so I'm not trying to bring everybody down with being Mr. Downer here, but this is why we pray for stuff. And this is why, and a lot of it is in, you get these people that are supposedly our senators, our governors, our reverends, our running a charity, you know, our big athletes, you know. There's one of the guys in the Super Bowl today made $20 million endorsing the Pfizer shot. Well, you know, that it turns out the people that got that shot, it didn't help them at all. In fact, you're worse off for taking that shot. But he got $20 million for endorsing it. But, so anyway, this is why we have to pray. This is why we have to speak against this. And again, we don't go, we're not going to take pitchforks and torches and go burn down the government, the governor's mansion in Denver, Colorado. You know, we're not, you know, no, we pray that let God, let there be God's justice. And, you know, also the reason we don't go after people with our justice is because remember in the first century, the Apostle Paul, he was a murderer. He was murdering Christians and hauling them away to jail. He got converted and he became the greatest apostle. So some of these people that are on the wrong side might switch. You know, we were talking about how some of the people used to be doing things bad politically, and then they now see that, you know what, I was wrong. So anyway, politics and religion and spirituality, and it's all mixed, and you do have to be careful, because there was people that I thought in the past that I voted for, that I thought, oh my God, this guy's a great Christian, I'm going to vote for him, he's going to be a great president, and he turned out to be, you know, that was George Bush, and he was terrible. You know, he made a lot of money for the military-industrial complex. He may have actually been better, he was probably better than the guy he was running against, but he wasn't a good guy. And so, the only one that's good is God. And somebody came to Jesus and said, good master. And Jesus said, you know, there's none good but God. And if anybody had a right to claim to be good, it was Jesus Christ. So, well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. And thank you that we can discern through this minefield of politics and religion. And Father, give us fair elections. Give us good, honest government officials that are not there just to make money off of us and not there just to do evil. And Father, expose everything that's hidden. Expose it, Father. Expose all this stuff. And Father, give Christians the realization and the knowledge that they can walk the same way Jesus Christ walked. That we can walk down the street and we can command, like God commanded things to happen. He commanded the oceans to appear. He commanded the planet to appear. We can command in the name of Jesus Christ things from the Bible, and it has to happen. And we can rebuke Satan. We can rebuke the evil things, and we can have some biblical justice where maybe you don't literally answer from fire to burn an altar, but you will answer and things will be turned around. And Father, I rebuke Satan, and as long as we're here, he can't pull the stuff that he wants to do that's written in the book of Revelation, because we're here and we're standing. And I thank you for all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen.